Kolonyalizm internet sitemizin değerli takipçileri, herkese merhaba. Bugün çok değerli bir isimle bir röportaj gerçekleştireceğiz. Çağımızın yaşayan en önemli düşünürlerinden Rus düşünür Alexander Dugin'le. Öncelikle bu röportajın gerçekleşmesini çok önemli katkılar sağlayan Rusya İstanbul Başkonsolosluğu'na ayrıca çok teşekkür ediyoruz. Sayın Dugin, bize vakit ayırdığınız için size de şükranlarımızı sunuyoruz. İlk sorumla başlamak istiyorum. Türk şairi Atilla İlhan, Ruslar ve Türkler bir coğrafyaya geldiklerinde o coğrafyadaki kültürü yok saymamışlardır. Hiçbir toplumun dilini yasaklamamışlardır diyor. Batı ise girdiği her coğrafyada ana dili yasaklıyor. Bu ayrım hakkında ne düşünüyorsunuz? Bu sıradan basit bir ayrım mı?
Agree absolutely with great Turkish poet Atilla İlhan, who was, by the way, one of the representatives of Eurasianism in Turkey. And I think that Turks and Russians were two imperial peoples. We are peoples of empire, and we know from our past, from our memory, from our historical experience, how to build empire. And in order to build empire, we need to include the cultures of different peoples united in the empire. We need to preserve identities of different religious and social and cultural communities. And we are champions in that. Turks historically have created not only one Ottoman empires. Turks have created the first Turkish Khaganate in the Eurasian steppes. The Turks founded many states and political entities. So the Turks know how to manage the differences, the languages, the cultures, the heritage of different people. And we Russians, we know that as well. That is why we are great builders of empire. And for some degree, our experience in building empires as inclusive kind of super states in Eurasia is very, very similar. So we lived very close to each other, and we share historical heritage of Eurasian traditions. So Atilla İlhan, who has dedicated to Eurasian principles very, very deep poems and beautiful lines, poetical lines, he understood that very well.
Batı felsefesinin ve düşüncesinin Batı'nın uyguladığı emperyal politikalardan bağımsız olduğu iddiası öne sürülüyor. Gerçekten düşüncenin pratiği şekillendirmemesi gibi bir şey söz konusu olabilir mi?
I think that Western philosophy was built precisely in the parallel with the political entities of the Western countries, and it is difficult to say what was first, Western political philosophy coming from traditionalism, from Christian understanding of the nature of the state and the society, to individualism through Protestantism, and finally the Western political thought and social thought has come to the liberalism, individualism. But during all the stage of this political thought, the West considered itself to be the center of the world, and the Western civilization, or so-called Western humanity, was identified with civilization as such. So imperialism and colonialism was embedded in all the stages of the Western political thought and political practice. And we see now that nothing has changed from the ancient times, because now liberal ideology is put as the kind of universal pattern for all the people, and the West nowadays, liberal West, expand its own political and colonial imperialist rule with the support of the liberal ideology. So ideology in the West can change, but its imperialism is the constant on all the phases and stages of Western history.
Dünya akademilerinde felsefenin, sanatın, düşüncenin başlangıcı olarak Avrupa ve Yunan merkezi bir kavrayış öne sürülüyor. Bu durum kolonyal Avrupa merkezci anlatıyı da sürekli canlı tutup üretiyor. Dünyada bunun değişme ihtimalini öngörüyor musunuz?
I agree that we need, in order to speak about humanity, we need to take in consideration, take in the account all existing civilization, not only Western one. So the Western civilization created or originated by the Greeks and developed by Romans. It was in the beginning in the classical form a really great creation of the human genius, but not the only, not the isolated one, because it existed from immemorial time for Indian philosophy, very deep and absolutely original, and Chinese philosophy as well, a totally different type of culture, of thought, of ideas. So that we had a very, very particular and original Iranian philosophy based on Zoroastrian tradition. So we had African types of cultures, American, pre-European American types of cultures, Turkish, Mongolian, and Asian, and in Oceania as well. We had some very flourishing cultures that, and I think that it is not correct to limit all the human knowledge, human culture, human tradition, human philosophy only to the Western one. So we need to put the Western culture in its logical and natural limits, inside of the boundaries that describe that space, the natural historical space of Western civilization. And we should consider Western philosophy and Western culture among the other cultures and other civilizations that cannot be judged by comparison with the Western culture. So we need to study and to evaluate and appreciate each civilization, each kind of philosophy by the inherent criteria, by the measures that are proper for precisely this kind of civilization. So and that is precisely what we are fighting against and what we are fighting for. We are fighting against unipolarity in all its dimensions in favor of multipolarity. So we advocate, we Russians, we advocate this multipolar vision of the humanity. And in order to promote that, we need to limit, to reduce pretensions and claims of the Western civilization to be the unique and universal. Well, that is one of the civilization, one of type of science, one of type of philosophy among the other. And we need to change the situation when all the humanity considers under pressure of this imperialist epistemology, consider the Western philosophy to be unique. It is one among the other, and we need to restore the dignity of all existing culture and human societies in the planet.
Türkiye ve Rusya gibi güçlü medeniyet arka planına sahip toplumların siyasi ve entelektüel düzeyde Avrupa'ya meydan okuması mümkün mü?
We have to do that. We are obliged to do that because we need to defend the sovereignty in epistemological sense. We need to defend the dignity of our civilizations, and we need to create a new epistemological visions or restoring the sovereignty of our cultures, and we have all the instruments for that in religion, and the culture and historical experience, and we have not only Russian, Eastern Slavic, but as well your Byzantine heritage in order to do that. So we have the very very strong basis to advocate our independent civilizational identity, and the same with the Turkish people, because Turks have very long history. It is not just modern Turkey, Ataturk's Turkey. That is as well Ottoman Empire, but as well Abbasid Caliphate and Islamic tradition and pre-Islamic Turkish tradition. So we have a great intellectual heritage behind us, and we need to rebuild our civilizational sovereignty on this basis. And in that sense, we can be the partners, we can be allies, because we need to restore the greatness of our cultures in front of this globalist unipolar liberal attack that tries to destroy, to eradicate any particular identities and impose on all cultures and peoples in the world their own individualistic identity. It is totally wrong. We need to fight against this, and that is why we need in both our countries a kind of cultural revolution or cultural conservative revolution that means the return to not on to the past, but to the eternal core of our traditions and our peoples.
Herkes Gogol'un paltosundan çıkmıştır denir. Aynı şekilde birçok önemli sinemacı da Tarkovski'den doğrudan etkilenmiştir. Rusya çok ciddi bir entelektüel güce sahip. Fakat Batı Rusya hakkında olumsuz bir algı oluşturdu ve oluşturmaya devam ediyor. Sizce Rusya kültürel birikimini bizlere, dünyaya doğru anlatabiliyor mu?
I think that we have in the past, we have a very great cultural tradition, Russian artistic tradition that has fascinated all the humanity, everybody in the world is hearing Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, Stravinsky, Scriabin. Everybody read Dostoevsky and Tolstoy. Everybody watch Tarkovsky. Now I think that the reason to diminish the importance of the Russian culture is purely political affair that has nothing to do with the quality of our culture. At the same time, we need to recognize that we've made in the 90s of the 20th century, we've made a very huge error and mistake to accepting Western criteria. So we have applied the Western liberal globalist measures and the standards to evaluate, to interpret our own add our own culture, and that was the great mistake, and that was the blow against the real genius of Russian people. And now we need to restore the identity and the power of Russian art and Russian culture, and put to ban, properly to ban the pretensions of universal judgment of the liberal globalist West. We need to resist against that, and we should not explain to the hostile Western civilization how great is Russian art. We need to restore and revival our national Russian genius. So it is not so much, the goal is not so much to convince the West that Russian art and Russian culture is great, but the goal is to recreate, to restore the greatness, real greatness of our art and the films and the musics and the literature and the poetry and the philosophy. So we need not to convince the other. We need to come to return to the sources of our historical inspiration. As it was, and it is, and it as it has to be in the future. So the goal on the is not to impress the other, but to find anew the source of inner inspiration for the and restoration of the greatness that will be great in our own eyes. And only in that situation, the other, all the rest of humanity could appreciate or not. That doesn't matter to be, for us, because if we could create and give birth to something really great, that will be enough.
Sizin siyaset bilimine katkınız olan yeni Avrasyacılık, Türkiye gibi batı dışı farklı toplumlar için güçlü imkan sunabilir mi? Rusya harici toplumlar için Avrasyacılığın cazibesi nedir?
New Eurasianism offer powerful opportunities for non-Western society such as Turkey. What is the appeal to Eurasianism for society outside of Russia? Eurasianism is can be appropriate and used in some sense by not only by Russian. Russian identity is Eurasian. So it is based on the combination of the Eastern and Western influences. But Eurasian culture, Eurasian identity of Russia is something totally original. It's not just combination or just superpositions of different elements, heterogeneous elements. It is something totally original, totally holistic. And I think that Turkey, modern Turkey, is in a position very similar to Russia. Turkey is placed between the East and the West. It has very, very important traditional Eastern influences, Islamic tradition, Turkish ancient traditions and heritage. And as well, there are so many Western influences inside of Turkish society. The Eurasianism is invitation to harmonize these kind of influences, to restore first of all original axis, epistemological and axiological axis of identity, and to distribute correctly the influences received from outside of our society. So I think that Eurasianism can be regarded as the methods to apply to Russian society, to Turkish society, or maybe to Syrian society, some part of Arab society, to Iranian society, and to other kind of the society where Western and Eastern elements coexist. And Eurasianism is idea of that is contrary to idea to westernize everything, to bring all the tendencies in the resonance and the conformity with the Western liberal patterns and norms. And Eurasianism is defense of the originality of the our cultures. And I think that Russia and Turkey, we are in a very similar position in front of this task to preserve and restore the originality and independence, the sovereignty of our cultures.
Rusya'nın Ukrayna politikası Batı'da kolonyal bir işgal olarak tanımlanıyor. Siz bu iddialar hakkında ne düşünüyorsunuz?
You know, the Ukraine never existed in the history as independent national state or identity. That was the part of our Russian world, and Ukrainians were organic part of Russian people. We have three branches: Great Russians, Small Russians, and White Russians. And that, as for example, as the tribes or branches of the Turkish different people. So that is tradition for Eurasian people to have triadic divisions of its. Of its branches, and all three branches form the unique and united Russian people, and we had a common state, common history, common we have a common religion, common identity. But this part of Russian world was taken from us by the accident, by the dissolution of the Soviet state. That was direct heir of the Russian Empire. So Soviet Union didn't make Ukraine as independent state to join. Or that was the part of the unique imperial state, and the parts of Ukraine were restored in the unity with all the rest of the Russia during Tsarist time, most of all. So Ukraine was just the part of Russia. And when Soviet Union collapsed, the Ukrainian state has received the chance to create, to form its own national identity. But in order to exist independently, the Ukrainian state should take in consideration both part of Ukrainian people, pro-Russian population of the East, and more or less pro-Western, pro-European population of the West of the Ukraine. Only, and that meant the necessity to preserve the neutrality of the Ukraine. And when it was so, we had nothing against the existence of independent Ukraine on the basis of the neutrality. When after the Maidan, the Western Ukrainians with the help and with the instigation, of the West, they have committed a coup d'état against the legitimate power. They from that moment, in the eyes of Moscow, Ukraine is not anymore national state. So we could not make occupation that we don't recognize that normal statehood. That the Nazi regime was created in Kyiv based on Russia phobia, and this Nazi regime, supported by the West, started the provocation against the eastern population of Ukraine and against Russia as such. So first response was the reunification with the Crimea and the help to Donbas. We tried to avoid direct confrontation, but the West pushed the Ukraine against us. They have prepared intervention in the eastern part of the Donbas, and we were obliged to intervene. But normally, because we don't recognize Ukraine as national state in present state of things, so we could not judge that as occupation. And that is the war imposed on us, provoked by the West against us, and we had no other solution as to react against this attack of the West against Russia. So I think all the claims that we have occupied Ukraine are totally false, because precisely because Ukraine doesn't exist. It didn't exist, and it will not exist. It has no historical chances to create on the Russian territory, in the space of Russian world, hostile anti-Russian Nazi political regime. We consider that as a group of terrorists, as, for example, Islamic State in the Middle East or Al-Qaeda. So we don't consider the political group that has usurped the power in Ukraine as legitimate government, and we have all the rights, historical and political and diplomatic rights, to liberate all the territory of Ukraine from the Nazi regime occupation.
Siyasal teoriniz Batı karşıtlığı üzerinden ilerlemiyor ve farklılıklar barındırıyor. Fakat buradaki sorularımız kolonyalizm çerçevesinde Batı'nın sert biçimde sorgulanmasını beraberinde getiriyor. Yine de sormak isteriz. Batı karşıtlığı söylemi gerçekten iddia edildiği gibi değersiz bir görüş ve düşünce mi?
So that is interesting. So first of all, there could be anti-Western people, and the West has committed so many crimes against humanity. So I think that in certain cases, to be anti-Western is logic, and that is totally praiseful and natural, and I have nothing against that by the principle, because the West, during many centuries, behaved itself as the colonial imperialistic power that tried to enslave the entire peoples and to impose their colonial rule on the people of Africa and Asia, destroying the traditional society, bringing their perverted liberal set of values. So we have so many reasons to hate the West. So I cannot protest against that. If someone hate the West, it is quite logic, natural, and normal. But saying this, I would like to stress that it is not my case. I could understand very well and approve and agree with the reasons why someone hates the West, and I think that would be very, very correct. But I don't hate the West. That is the difference. So I understand those who hate the West. I understand their reasons. I find them legitimate. But it is not my case. Just in order to be transparent and clear. So I think that what I hate is not the West, but the pretension and the claim of the Western civilization to be unique and universal. Here I agree with all the criticism of the West. When the Western man or woman or politician or thinker or intellectual claim that the West is the same as humanity, and there is only one set of universal values, Western Western values, when they identify the way the West with the, all the rest, with all the humanity, I protest. Here I am absolutely against that. So I think we need to fight precisely this claim of the West. So I think the Western culture is very, very precious, very interesting, very paradoxical. It had many very, very good points and very bad points. But the only thing that demands, in my opinion, to be fight against with all radicality, with all the means we have, is the claim of the universality of the Western value. Liberalism, for example, is purely Western modern system, modern ideology. It has nothing universal comparing with the political history of the West, because in the West existed and still exist illiberal versions of the political thought, cultural thought. But now West pretends that if you are not liberal, you should be destroyed, you should be cancelled, you should be persecuted, you should be punished finally. So that is purely totalitarian way of thought, and I am radically against that. So we need to fight against a pretension claim of the West to be universal. That is our duty. Any sincere and honest man and woman in the world should fight against this hegemony, should reduce the Western culture to its normal and natural limits. And with that I absolutely agree, and I invite everybody to join this multipolar fight against the Western imperialism and colonialism, ideological and technological and economical, cultural colonialism of the modern West. But at the same time, I don't share the hatred to all the Western culture. I think Western history, Western philosophy, Western system of value, above all, of ancient West and classical West, I admire. So many aspects of the West I admire, but what I deny radically, it is the Western pretension on universality.
Kolonyalizm karşıtı dünyada yeni bir toplumsal harekete dönüşebilir mi?
I think that yes, exactly. We need now the common anti-colonial front and the BRICS 10, it is the frame, maybe the first approximation to the frame of this anti-colonial coalition and anti-colonial front, because inside of the BRIC 10, the different civilizations, different great states and great cultures are united in order to promote the difference, to defend the particularity of each of these civilizations, and that is the first approximation of the structure of this anti-colonial fight. But I think that as well the countries that didn't yet join BRICS can as well participate in the creation of anti-colonial front, basing on multipolarity, on the recognition of the dignity of all existing human cultures and civilization, and with the denying and radical refuse of any claim of a Western civilization to hold the key of what is universal and proper to all humanity. For example, when the West pretends that we need to defend the human rights, but when we go deeper in the question, we see immediately that the West has its own understanding of what is human and what is right. So human is individual, right is only right without responsibilities, without obligations. So that is purely liberal Western individualist parody. It is just totalitarian concept imposed on the humanity. Because if we ask Islamic society, what is human in your opinion? So we receive totally different answer. Or what is a man and human being in Russian culture? We received a totally different answer. We, for example, we Russians, we don't consider human being as individual. For us, the humanity is has broader meaning. To be human is to have family, to have children, to have ancestors, to have those who will come after us. So that is unity of the people. So to be human is to be Russian. Yeah, to be human, to be the part of the people. We have holistic understanding of humanity, and we have special Russian understanding of right. What is rights? Rights are we could not separate from obligations, from social responsibility in front of the other. That is our understanding, and I am sure that Islamic society, Chinese society, Indian society have their own understanding of what is human and what is right. But human rights ideology is purely Western, and it's purely purely colonial. So we need to fight against this usurpation of the terms, of the words, of the concept, and the pretensions of the West to deal with these so-called universal concepts that are not universal in nothing. They are just projection of Western colonialism. So we need to create global epistemological front of multipolar humanity in order to fight against this colonialism. And BRICS 10 is the very, very nice structure that fits to this task, but I think that we shouldn't limit this anti-colonial front only with BRICS countries, but as well to promote this as a pan-human strategy in order to save the dignity of the real humanity, not this universal image of the Western liberal understanding of what is human projected and imposed on all of us. We need to start epistemological anti-colonial war, I would say. And that is precisely the reason what we are fight for in the Ukraine. What is the reason? That is the reason why the Palestinian people is fighting against Israeli occupation and genocide in Gaza. And I think that anti-colonial fight is something that should be the destiny of the humanity if we have enough of will and power and inspiration to defend our identity and to keep in the future the deep meaning and God and conserve the traditional values of our civilizations. Thank you.